I was reading this morning, one of the writers was talking about how this could be akin to Joe Torre taking over the Yankees from Buck Showalter. Maybe, maybe not. We'll have to see. But it's a safe pick. It's not a pick that is wrought in controversy by any stretch of the imagination, other than the fact that we still don't know why they fired Tom Thibodeau. They've been building the roster. They have a much better bench, it looks like, right now, considering that they added two valuable pieces that are going to come off the bench. I think he is inheriting a team in a conference where there will be enormous expectations. And there will be pressure. Pressure is a privilege in this case because he doesn't have a bad team. He has a good team that he's inheriting that went all the way to the Eastern Conference Championship. So am I overly elated about this like I was about Mike Sullivan coming to the Rangers? No, I'm not. I mean, I'm just, what I am is like, let's see what he can do. I'm not against it. I'm certainly not going to go against all the experience that he had with LeBron James early on in LeBron's career, his experience with Kobe Bryant, the fact that he's been a head coach in four different places. It's all a part of the NBA package. That this is what happens. And again, I don't want to use the word recycled, but it kind of feels that way to me, but it also feels that they wanted a guy with experience. They didn't want somebody that didn't have any experience. And at least I can sit here and say that his over 700 wins, the success that he had with LeBron, the respect that he has in the league, kind of reminds me of hiring Tom Thibodeau.
Yes, now they're different, right? So it feels almost lateral in a sense. Different type of guys, different type of philosophy. Obviously, Tibbs is a little more of a grinder, not from a work ethic standpoint. He's just, you know, always basketball. He holds himself up in a hotel room and doesn't talk to anybody. And I think Mike Brown's got a little more stuff going on in his life. And I think that kind of helps when you're a head coach, able to relate to the players. But it does feel lateral. I mean, if you go through the resumes, they are very, very similar. Now, Tom Thibodeau wasn't on a bunch of staffs that won NBA championships like Mike Brown was, and Tibbs didn't go to a finals, I don't believe, where obviously Mike Brown did with LeBron. But yeah, it's a similar guy. Now, the things that I really love about it is the experience. I mean, and we're talking top-level NBA pressure experience, yes, that he has. Yeah. So when we ask for that in a situation like this, we don't want a first-time head coach. When we ask for that for the Jets and we didn't want a first-time head coach, this is the type of guy that you want, is someone who has been there, hasn't had the ultimate success as a head coach, but he's been there. The thing I don't like about it, though, is I really believe that because Leon Rose, whoever else, Jim Dolan, had a problem with the way Tibbs was doing things, that when Mike Brown is hired after all the, I mean, unless something big happens here, but most of the offseason is done for the Knicks, that if things are not going exactly the way they want, there's going to be a lot of influence from the front office, and that just creates a bad environment of like, you know, you're not playing this guy enough. You're not playing that guy enough. We didn't bring you in here to sit that guy. So I just hope the collaboration between these guys, because I don't know the previous relationship. Tibbs and Leon Rose had a relationship for years and years and years prior to this. So I just hope that this relationship is collaborative and not like I'm going to tell you what to do.
I mean, part of me feels like World Wide West has got his fingers all
over
this
thing. Yeah. Whoever.
And that's fine. I mean, look, he's going to be under enormous pressure. I don't know how much different his system is. You know, they all play pick and rolls. I don't know what, you know, his demand level is, which is going to be really important. By the way, he is inheriting a very good group of guys. And we've liked the team. We like the way the team has been built. I think we both like the additions here this offseason, free agency-wise. I mean, I know that listening to Evan and Tiki yesterday, they were talking about there was a potential that they were looking at Ben Simmons. And I'm like, you know what? I think we got serious people here now. I think we got serious players here. I think we have players like Jordan Clarkson and Yabusele who are going to understand their roles. They're going to be serious NBA off-the-bench players that are going to try to help this team get over the top. I just want serious players. I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking. And I hope that by adding these two guys, by adding Mike Brown, that the dynamics will change a little bit because they'll play the bench more. That's what I'm assuming. That's probably the biggest knock against Tibbs when he was fired. But again, like I said, yes, lateral move, but experienced, which is a good thing. Now it's a question of whether or not he's that much different than Thibodeau when it comes to offense and defensive strategy, systems, how they play, and then how they react to the way he is teaching them or the way he is coaching them to get what he wants out of them and where he sees the need for improvement.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of falls in the middle of the home run hire and then the crazy hire, because we had talked about both of those things. Like, the home run hire would have been to bring in Jason Kidd or get Jay Wright to come here or something like that. You know, the crazy hire would have been the Dawn Staley or that guy, Micah Norrie, who has never been a head coach, and he had to sound like he was from the South. Those things would have been the nutso hires. And this falls in the middle, closer to the home run than the nutso. But it's the safest. It is. It really is the safest hire, you know, which I'm encouraged. I'm not thrilled. I'm encouraged. But as far as the Ben Simmons thing, before I forget, they are clearly trying to find a point guard with experience to come in and run the offense when Jalen Brunson is on the bench, because they want to give him more time during the regular season to maybe rest, and they probably want to, you know, Deuce is a guy who loves to shoot. They're looking for, like, Russell. They looked at Russell Westbrook and Ben Simmons, which are two guys who can't shoot but can run an offense and have NBA experience. So those two guys I don't want on the team, but what I'm pulling from that is that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench, and or if he gets hurt and they need to make sure that someone competent can be out there the whole time.
And, you know, if this whole thing is built around playing more players off your bench and less time on the court for the starting five, then the numbers for the starting five are going to be going down.
Yeah, I mean, that...
You know, the points, the rebounds, the assists, all the numbers that everybody looks at, could there also be a lack of an all-star player on the team? Because if you want to play guys more, well, I mean, depending on how much more. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Like 3 minutes a game?
Yeah, I don't know. And I do believe if Tibbs had the bench that the Knicks have going into this season, he would have played more guys on the bench. You didn't have those guys. You know, when you had DiVincenzo here, you had Hartenstein here, those guys were playing. And I know some of it was dictated by injury, but those guys were playing. And also, on the flip side of, you know, the starters not getting as many minutes, if you think about it, I mean, it really impacts Mikal Bridges the most because he hasn't had that big payday yet, where you got Jalen Brunson got paid, Karl Anthony Towns has a contract, OG Anunoby has a contract, so Bridges is the one guy there. But what it also does is gives guys on the bench opportunities to showcase themselves when they hit the free agency, like Isaiah Hartenstein did, and he cashed in big with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So,
by the way, I mean, you know, they're sitting here. You know that Bridges is going to want an extension right now. And I think the max that they can give him is like 104 years, $150 million. I mean, you traded all these picks for him, and now he's here. And you got to believe his agent is in there saying it's time for an extension.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so that's another issue that you're dealing with right now that, you know, you probably have, you know, moved away from just a little bit so you can get the coach hired, you can get some free agents hired. And the question is, do they give him the extension or do they move him? Because you can't just let him go to free agency and not get anything for him.
Well, I mean, I would give him an extension if it wasn't the max right now. I don't think you can give him the max. He wasn't a max player for the Knicks last year. Great couple of defensive plays back-to-back in the Boston series in games one and two. You know, sometimes he would be finding that mid-range jumper and it would be the instant offense for them, but I mean, if you're giving him the max, that to me is a mistake.
I'm just telling you what the player's thinking. I'm not saying that's what you should give them. I'm just saying this is what the player is going to be wanting. You know, it's the NBA, man. You know, all these players want huge dollars. They want their future secure, and I'm totally down with the way that they're thinking. I'm just telling you that's the way they're thinking.